Accession number 21110, real one.
Jerry Locke, real one. So you've told me that you were born in March 1924. No. Where was that?
In Bristol.
Uh-huh. And what did your father do?
He was a signalman on the railway.
Uh-huh. And what did your mum do?
Just a housewife.
Yeah. Did you have any brothers and sisters?
Two older brothers.
Mm-hmm. And did they go in the services?
Yeah, they were both in tank regiments.
Right, uh-huh. And where did you go to school?
I went to school at Avemouth School and then on to Portway in Sharehampton.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And at what age did you leave school?
14.
Uh-huh. And what did you go to do then?
I worked in the flour mills most of my time before I went into the army.
Mm-hmm. What sort of thing were you doing?
Well, I was in the self-freezing department, making it from plain flour into self-freezing flour, actually, yeah.
So did you want to go into the army?
Very much.
Well, as soon as you were old enough?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
So how did you come to go in? Did you volunteer or did you get...
No, I was called up.
Right. So what did you feel when you got your call-up papers?
Quite proud, actually.
Yeah. What did your parents think?
Very worried, because I was the youngest of three sons. And my eldest brother was out in the Middle East and Italy. And my other brother was out in Burma, in India and Burma.
So the parents were obviously a bit worried about him.
Yeah.
Now
being the baby of the family.
Yeah. Yeah. So where did you have to report to?
Gujarat Barracks in Colchester.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And they gave you a travel warrant, did they?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what was that journey like? Do you remember going off there?
Yeah, very much so. It's the first time I'd been away from home on my own. So... it was a little bit worrying, you know, and to get to London and never been on an underground before and find my way across the Liverpool Street Station was, you know, a bit stressful at the time.
So did you meet any other conscripts going the same way?
Not until I got to Colchester, where the army sergeant put us in our various lorries, like.
So he was waiting for you?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What was his attitude like? Was he friendly or?
Yes, very good. There were several people already in the truck waiting, and then we had to wait there again for another train to come in for other recruits to arrive.
Uh-huh. Did they take you all off in a lorry or?
Yes, in a lorry.
And what was the barracks like when you got there? You must have been, you know...
Very old-fashioned, you know, Victorian-type barracks.
Uh-huh.
And we were just put into a barrack room and told to grab a bed, and, and which we did. And of course, we didn't have any uniforms or anything like that, you know. We gradually talked to one another and... finding out where we came from and that, you know.
So did you get on quite easily with each other?
Oh, you did.
Yeah.
Not everybody, I'm afraid, you know. We had some fellows actually crying at night the first night, and, you know. But
were you all sort of 18 or were some people older?
No, all around 18, 19, yeah, all young.
So... when did you get your uniform and your equipment?
The next day.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Were you quite proud to get that? Or?
Well, yes, in some respect, but it was the way it was done. They just looked at us and threw a uniform at us, like, you know.
And did you get a rifle then?
No, not until about 2 days later.
Right. Uh-huh. So this was a regiment or...
No, it was general training, 6 weeks general training.
Right. So how did the training begin? I suppose you had the corporal sort of...
Yeah, the NCOs looked after us was from the Devonshire Regiment. And it started off with all the medicals and the inoculations and... teeth filled and all that sort of thing for the first few days. And then we went on a route march, which seemed to be forever. Come back with blisters on our feet, and it's completely all new.
Yeah.
Did a lot of marching on the Barrack Square, learning different movements, which I enjoyed. I really enjoyed that sort of thing. I really enjoyed the discipline, actually.
Was it quite tough? I mean, was it?
Well, coming straight from Civvy Street, it was like, you know, it's totally different. And the food took a little bit of getting used to, you know. Not like mother's cooking, you know.
What was it like, the food?
Not very nice, you know. Cabbage seemed to be raw and things, you know. Had horrible thick porridge in the mornings. But got used to it after a while.
Yeah. And, of course, you got all your kit now. So did they tell you how to look after it all and how to clean it?
Well, pardon me. After the our inoculations, the first thing they made us do was to go out and blanco our kit. This apparently was to get our arms moving so they wouldn't get stiff. So we had to blanco it, and then when it was dry, we had to polish our brasses. And then the corporal came in to tell us where we'd gone wrong.
What was he like, the corporal?
Well, very good, really. Yeah, we had a very good sergeant, a very good corporal. Not all bawling and shouting or anything like that, you know, but I thought that he brought us in quite good, you know.
So who did the kit inspections?
We had, I expect you've heard of him actually, our captain was Peter Wilson, that used to write in the Daily Mirror Sports Report. He was our captain. And he always used to inspect us. And
yeah. Was he quite strict, you know?
I wouldn't say quite strict. He did say to me one day, did you have a shave this morning? And I said, I've never shaved. And he said, write home to your mother tonight and tell her you started. So that was a nice little way into somebody get a shave.
Yeah. So did you ever get into trouble, you know, with your kit inspection? Because they were very, very strict, weren't they?
No, I never got into any real trouble. I got some sort of pulled up and corrected on things, but I didn't ever get into any real trouble.
Yeah. Did they have punishments for people who did get it wrong?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
What sort of things would they be?
Well, usually CB and fatigues, mm-hmm. sent to the cookhouse to clean the pots and pans or things like that. Mm-hmm. The only thing, well, I wouldn't say I got into trouble, the first time we were allowed out into Colchester, came back at night into the guard room, and a sergeant said, army number, and I went to get my paybook out, and he said, don't you touch that. What's your army number? I can't remember. Stand over in a corner, and they're finished up. About a dozen of us stood in a corner, and he said, right, get your pay books out, look at your number, put your pay books back, come and tell me your number, and you'll never forget it for the rest of your life. And I haven't.
You better give me your number then.
It's 14303435.
So that was it, yeah, you were in the army then.
That's right, yeah.
Your number, yeah. Did you ever do guard duties while you were doing initial training?
No.
No, right, okay. So what things did you, apart from the actual training, what things did you do in your spare time? Did you do any sports or go into Colchester?
No, you just go to Colchester, go to the cinema, have a drink, queued up for 2 hours one day to see Gone with the Wind and in the pouring rain. But there wasn't much to do in quarters, and there were so many troops in there, you know. Everywhere you went was troops.
Did Did you have a nappy?
Yes, in the camp itself. Mm. Yeah, used to go there.
Yeah. What would you do there?
Might have a game of table tennis or darts or have a drink and sit down and have a chat to somebody that you never met before and find out where they came from and what they did in civilian life, you know.
Were you a mixed bag of people?
Oh, yes. Yeah, it was sort of rich and poor and some that parents had big businesses. And, but on the whole, got on pretty well, you know.
Did you all mix in together or did you rather keep to your own type, you know?
No, I think we mixed pretty well. If we went into the NAFI, it was pretty full, if there was a table with a chair empty, and just say, you know, can I sit here? And they say, yeah, and then you, from there you'd get talking, like, you know. Then the next time you sort of see him, how are you doing, like, you know.
So what sort of other training? You did the square bashing.
Yeah.
What sort of weapons training did you do?
We did rifle drill and bayonet drill. Did, as I say, we did marches. We did a lot of aptitude tests.
Oh, yeah. What sort of things were they?
Sort of a, you get a vice and a lock and sort of a chain. You have to strip it down and put it back together again, and the sergeant there would be timing you while you did it. Each item, you know, they would time you. Then getting near the end of the 6 weeks, we had a lot of interviews with different officers. I had one interview with an officer. He said they were just starting a new regiment called the REMES, Royal Electrical Mechanical Engineers, and he thought I'd do well in there. I said I was hoping to go into the tank, to a tank regiment, and he asked me why, and I said, well, I got two brothers in tank regiments, and I said, according to the regulations, your older brother can claim you if he wishes, and I said, I should probably be claimed by him anyhow. So then, the next day I saw a tank corps officer, had a talk with him, and he asked me what I wanted to be in a tank, and I said a driver, and he slapped the table. He said, there's other things in the tank regiment, not without being drivers, you know. But I eventually finished up in the tank regiment, and I went to the 61st Training Regiment, RAC at Catterick.
Right, so you did your 6 weeks at Colchester.
Yeah.
And then you went to the
61st Training Regiment of the RAC. That was at Catterick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Right, so was that very different to the basic training?
Yeah, it's very different. The main thing when we got there was it was a modern barracks that was really nice, like, you know. Yeah.
What sort of buildings were they?
I think it's a breeze box, you know, but it wasn't this nuts, or, you know, it's breeze box and nice and airy, lots of windows and a lot more space between beds and things like that.
So was it a slightly different type of person there with you? Because I suppose your draft, you'd all gone different directions, hadn't you?
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was only two fellas from Colchester that went with me to the 61st. Some went to the, I think it was the 7th Artillery, but some went to a tank regiment just down the road. One thing very noticeable about the training regiment was there was no barrack squares, or the ones where there was very little, like. And the first training we had, it was on Valentine tanks. put into there and given a real rough ride.
Tell me about that rough ride. What did they do?
Well, went over all the bounces and things they could do and bounce a tank around. But unfortunately for me, prior to me going in there, a couple had been in before me and had been sick. And that was still in there. And the smell alone was bad enough, like, you know. But I did manage to get through without any difficulty.
So tell me about a Ballantine tank. What sort of a beast was that?
Well, it was just a one driver and a three-man turret, very small, with a two-pounder gun. I always remember it was a diesel engine, and the diesel smelled awful when you're shut down inside the tank for the first time. Like, you know, it was. I was determined I was going to see it through.
And you wanted to be a driver, did you? Still, or?
Well, I just wanted to be a member of a tank crew, you know. And of course, from there, we had a MEX course, a mechanical course. We went on a wireless course and a gunnery course.
Right. How easy was it? When did you first drive a tank? Because you couldn't drive before.
I didn't drive.
No, you didn't at all.
It was just a bumpy ride and,
right.
You know, okay. Just as there you got on with it, you know.
So, just going back to your basic training, what weapons training had you done there? You done rifle,
Bren gun, Thompson submachine gun. That's the only weapons there.
Right, okay.
Oh, and a Piat. We did do a Piat. Mm-hmm. That was anti-tank gun.
Yeah.
Which, to cock it, I had to stand on the bolt to cock it because I didn't have the strength to pull it. But I wasn't the only one.
No. So tell me about a tank crew on a Ballantine tank. So it was three plus a driver, was it?
Yes. Mm. But when I went on the tank ride, there was only a crew commander and myself. There was no wireless operator,
right.
And a driver, of course.
Right. So tell me about the jobs that each one of that crew would do.
Well, when a driver, of course, would drive and he would... Well, I don't know much about the training part of it because I just did that ride, and I had nothing to do with a tank after that.
Right.
I didn't have anything to do with a tank after that.
So what other training did you do then at Catholic?
I did a MEX course.
Mm-hmm.
I did a driving course, lorry driving.
Mm-hmm.
I did a wireless course and a gunnery course.
Right.
On gunnery, I did exceptionally well. And we used to fire on the ranges, rifles, Bren guns, Thompson submachine guns. And we always just put in sixpence, and the one with the best score came out with the money. And I very often came out with the money. And the sergeant was always telling me how good I was. So when it came to, I used to try my hardest on gunnery, more so than I did on the other things. I did well on my radio work, practical, but I was hopeless on theory. I failed several times on theory. I got through my practical very well, like, you know.
Were you enjoying all this?
Oh, yeah. Mm. Yeah. And there again, at training, we didn't do any guards or anything. In the training regiment, it was purely training.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We used to go into Richmond at night on the bus for a few drinks, and on a weekend might get into Darlington and back.
What was the atmosphere like? Were the local people pleased to have you there? Or
I think in the pubs they were glad of your money, but I think most of the locals were fed up of seeing so many troops, and as fast as we were moving out, another lot was coming in, you know. I think they were a little bit fed up with that part of it.
Did you mix with the local young people or the girls? Or?
No, usually with the army. Nearly always army. I think the trouble was, as it came to girls, there was far more troops than what there was girls, like, you know. And NCO and officers seemed to grab those.
Did you do any much fitness training?
Yes, we used to do PE and cross-country running and things like that, assault courses, which I used to enjoy. I used to enjoy those.
Did you do, while you were at Catterick, did you do any manoeuvres? Or?
No.
No.
Did, other than that one trip in a Valentine tank, I didn't see the inside of a tank at all.
Right, so you would spent your time doing these different courses, really?
Yes. Perhaps. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so how long were you there?
About 12 weeks, I think. Yeah, I joined the 504 Fire in the February.
Right. So did 43, you choose to join the 504 Fire?
No. I know we did hint that we wouldn't mind going, Pal and I, but we were sent to make the unit up where they lost their men in Dunkirk, mm-hmm. and they were building the unit up again.
Right. And where were they based?
Helmsley in Yorkshire.
Helmsley?
Yeah.
Right. So what sort of a place was that?
Well, there was sort of a big mansion house, which the offices and the officers and that were in there, and we were in woods and Nissen huts. Mm-hmm. Quite good. I got put in, I was sent to B Squadron, and I got put into 3 Troop. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until sometime after the sergeant told me that in the B Squadron office, somebody said there was a young kiddie here. He said he ought to be back home on his mother's apron strings. He didn't look old enough to be in the army. And he said, put him in our billet, we'll look after him. And I got put in there.
That was you, was it?
Yes, yeah.
Did you feel very young, or was it just...
Oh, very young, yeah. I mean, the others were in their mid-20s. And, of course, I got a lot of ribbing, and I got a lot of do this, do that sort of thing, you know, which I didn't mind. And then an old man, he must have been 29, took me under his wing, taught me to polish me brasses and churn out well on guard and press me uniform. And he was really, really good to me, like, you know.
What was his name?
Tim Wilkinson. Uh-huh. Yeah. But as I said, to me he was an old man, like, you know.
So what did you feel about being part of a regiment now, you know, a regiment with a history?
Oh, great. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You were proud of it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, although I was proud of the regiment, come the end, I wasn't very proud of what we were doing. I didn't like the flamethrower as a weapon.
Yeah.
You know, it's...
So, when did you start doing... What training did you do at Helmsley then?
Well, when we got there, they had Covenanter tanks and Crusaders.
Sorry, which tanks?
Covenanters, yeah. And Crusaders. Mm-hmm. And we were doing a lot of schemes and manoeuvres.
Where did you do those? Tell me about those.
In the countryside around Helmsley, it didn't seem to go very far. And I suppose I'd been there a month, and I was told that I was going to be the troop leader's gunner. So I was put into a crew, which I was quite proud of.
Tell me about the troop leader. What is a troop leader?
Well, in a tank you have, at the time it was a 4-man crew and 4 tanks to the troop. And he would be command of those 4 tanks and the men that are in it.
Right. So what was it like being in a tank?
I quite enjoyed it.
How close was it? I mean, you were...
Well, it was quite close. Didn't have to move very far without bumping your head or your elbow or something or other, but you got used to it gradually. And I suppose about 2 to 3 months after that, they started bringing in Centaurs and Comets. Mm-hmm. Now, this was a modern tank in those standards with a 6-pounder gun rather than a 2-pounder. A 5-man crew because it had a co-driver, which we didn't have before. So we had another crew member. And there was quite a bit more room in the turret than what there was in a Crusader.
Mm. Tell me about being a gunner then. What sort of gun were you firing and how did it work?
Well, on the Cromwell, it was a 6-pounder, and coaxially mounted with a 6-pounder was a Beza machine gun. They were side by side. And used to have a shoulder pad to hold the gun in, and just 2 triggers, one for the machine gun and one for the 6-pounder. And when you're moving, you had to move your shoulder up and down and try and keep your gun on target. The turret was a lot faster going round than what it was before. Another thing you had to get used to. And of course, it was a lot faster tank going across country. You could get 40 mile an hour across country. And it had Rolls-Royce Merlin engines. It was adapted from the Spitfire engine, and they were put in there. And we were there up in Helmsley and round Scarborough and all that way, just to prove the tank. We were out every day, bashing it around, bumping it about. And at the beginning, we had a lot of clutches burn out on the Cromwell. And we had a Rolls-Royce engineer with us, and we weren't allowed to lift the engine covers up unless he was present at the time. They were always changing these clutches, and eventually they had one come all painted blue, and that was put in. And then after that, we had no trouble, and they were all replaced. So they found the fault, whatever the cause was, and put that right.
How easy was it to get in and out of a tank?
Quite easy. We all had our positions to stand, like in the mornings, you know, being it was a yeomanry regiment, and you went back to the old horse days, you stood in your position by the tank, and a troop leader would say, you know, crew mount, and you had to mount and get into the tank. And
so how did you get in? I mean, there wasn't a door, was there?
No. The driver and co-driver had flaps, and they dropped in through the top of the flaps and then pulled their covers down. In a turret, I would be the first to go in because I had no way out other than going to the crew commander's hatch, and the wireless operator, he had his own hatch. So when you were in there and you were shut down, I had the crew commander's knees stuck in me back all the time, right, you know. Wasn't a very comfortable ride. But
so it was all pretty small.
Oh yes, yeah.
So you were the gunner.
Yes.
So that was your only concern, was it?
Yes.
Was the gun?
Well, I was a gunner wireless operator, but that was my second trade, right. The wireless operator.
Right. Okay. Right. Jerry Locke, end of reel 1.